And what to expect with all of that rain this afternoon. And I'll just tell you, listen closely, if you're sleepy, that nice, every now and then you hear a little drizzle on the roof up there. If it's a natural sleepiness, stand up. You won't offend me if you want to stand up and move around. If it's an unnatural, now we're getting into our subject. If it's an unnatural sleepiness, rebuke that devil and tell it to go. We're on authority of the believer, lesson number four tonight, or session number four. I want you to go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm not going to review quite as much tonight. I just want to mention a few things we've been talking about, because we've spent the first 3 weeks basically in the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians, talking about who we are in Christ. And the Word very clearly shows us that even though we may not feel it, and even though it may be something that we haven't been walking in, that in Christ we are seated in Him, that we were buried with Him, we were crucified with Him, we were buried with Him, and we were raised with Him, and we were seated with Him and are seated with Him in heavenly places. And we talked about what it means to be seated on a throne. If we are seated on His throne with Him, then we share in the authority of that throne. Nothing in what I am teaching should ever take away from the absolute sovereignty of God. And you know me well enough to know I'm not teaching or preaching anything that would diminish the absolute sovereignty and the power and rulership of God over our lives and over the world. But what we are studying is what He has entrusted to us as believers, potentially. And as I have shared a number of times, that we are doing this week after week after week, we are actually just rebuilding going back and revisiting some of the same concepts. We're looking at different scriptures, and we're slowly moving into more practical areas. We'll talk about some of that tonight. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as a congregation, I won't speak of myself tonight, as a congregation, there has been a season in which many were beaten up and weary in these things. And so we're refreshing ourselves in the Word of God and reminding ourselves in the Word of God where we stand, so that if you remember in the book of Ephesians, when it speaks of the whole armor of God, at the very end it says, and when you've done all you know to do, then what do? Stand. And we're going to talk later about what that means, what it means to stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord, I just ask tonight that You again would be glorified and exalted in this. Lord, that we would recognize, even as we spoke last week of our place of humility, that there is no authority that can be exercised without humility before You. It's in that humility that we find our place of standing and our ability to stand. And I humbly ask You tonight, Lord God, that You would make these truths real to us, that it would not just be some charismatic teaching, but Lord, it would be life and it would be truth, and it would help us in the situations, the warfare in which we find ourselves. So tonight I pray that You would sharpen our minds, make us alert, keep us awake, Lord God. Give me clarity of thought and speech, and most of all, Your anointing, Lord God, that the Word might come forth with life and with power. And we ask that You would continue to raise us up as Your army in the earth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Now, as I said, we've been looking at what it means to be raised and seated with Him. Last week we talked about qualifications. One of those was humility. We talked about, I shared with you at the beginning of the message last week some incidents through our lives, mine and Maggie's lives, of times in which we knew that we were in a battle, and times in which we did stand in this, and times in which we saw something supernaturally happen. We saw God move, saw God intervene. I've also shared with you there have been seasons and times when we did not walk in it in great fullness, and that's to our own detriment. And so we're stirring ourselves in this as a congregation. And so tonight I want to talk to you about some practical aspects of exercising authority. But in order to do that, we've got to go into the Word, into a few areas first. First thing I want to just mention is the significance of the term Satan. The significance of the term Satan. We need to understand the significance of his name. The word Satan is from a Hebrew word that means the adversary. And if you don't understand by now, I know that you do, but if you don't understand by now in your walk with God, perhaps if you're someone who's just beginning to set your hand to the plow and say, I want to be everything God wants me to be, and I want to follow Him with all of my heart, then you're going to understand, if you don't already, that there is a real adversary. That when we begin to press into the Lord, there is an intensification of battles. There is a warfare in which we may have known that we were in, but suddenly we experience it as a reality, and it's an intense reality, and some of you tonight can testify to that. Now, as the adversary, he seeks to do this one thing more than anything else. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So as the adversary, his primary tactic, one of his primary tactics, is to be the accuser of the brethren, and we'll see what that means. Daniel, we're not going to turn there, but in the book of Daniel, Daniel prophesies that in the end times, that the enemy will seek to wear out the saints of God. Now you can identify, now you can raise your hand. How many of you have ever been in such spiritual warfare that you felt that you were just going to be worn out? You were just worn out. The enemy's just wreaking havoc and you just can't take anymore. You're so tired and worn out from it. That's his desire. It's his design. And in all of these things that I'm teaching, I think that the hardest part is that we're 1 week, 2 week, 5 weeks, whatever it may be for you, behind the game recognizing it. We can always look back and say, oh, Satan has been attacking so hard. But when he first attacks, when he wears on us, so often we don't stop and consider that it's him. We wrestle with flesh and blood. The Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But we find ourselves wrestling, not necessarily, we wouldn't say that, we're not wrestling with a brother or sister in the Lord necessarily, but we're worn out by the people of God, we're worn out by our own flesh, that's flesh and blood. I can tell you right now, there have been plenty of times I've been worn out by my wrestling with my own flesh. And so, the accuser of the brethren then comes and wants to accuse you. We'll see what that means. First, I want you to turn to Zechariah in the Old Testament, one of my favorite books. James actually used this passage in our last men's meeting. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10. It's such a picture that we need to understand and to have in our mind. I know I've preached on it here before, but it has to be brought into the context of what we're studying. Chapter 3, just beginning with the first verse, this is a vision that Nehemiah had. Then he, speaking of the Lord, showed me Joshua the high priest. This is not Joshua that we're studying on Wednesday nights. This is a high priest. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this, speaking of Joshua, not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, this is a picture. This is to encourage, actually, we don't have time for this. This is to encourage Zerubbabel, who is governor, and they are being called to rebuild the temple, and it is this job that is so big that they are just overwhelmed by it. And here, these visions all are given to Zechariah in one night to encourage them in the work of rebuilding the temple. And the people are in sin. The people are defiled before the Lord. Joshua is the high priest. He represents the people before God. And so there is this application for these people in that time that God still says, Joshua, I accept you and I'm not going to let Satan oppose you. My hand is upon you and this work is going to be completed. But for you and I, it is a picture because we no longer have priests here. We have Jesus, our high priest, but we all come before the Lord. We come before Christ as a priest and able to, in order to worship the Lord and to come before His presence. Hang in there with me, okay? We come before the Lord, and when we come like this, in other words, in this vision, there is nothing else. There are no distractions other than Satan. There's nothing else. This is a man who is called to come into the very presence of the King.